Satan really was clever.
He is the great deceiver. He's very clever.
What a genius thing to make it ridiculous to believe in him.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Now, before we open up this topic on Satan for us.
For thousands of years, people around the world have believed in the existence of Satan, an entity that is thought to be the embodiment of pure evil.
I want you to understand this word satanic is connected to Satanism, which is connected to Satan, Shaitan, which we'll be discussing here.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum. No stranger to the Dean Show, Sheikh Ala, currently the director of Human Concern International, formerly the director of ISNA.
Correct.
In Canada.
That's correct.
Like I said, no stranger to the Dean Show. No, how you been? Welcome back.
No complaints. Always nice to be back, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for accepting the invitation. Now, if me and you were opening up, talking about Satan's, you know, Satanism, people like, okay.
What a genius thing to make it so that even saying you've communicated with Satan or saying...
You sound like a loon.
There's a lot to unpackage here.
Yeah.
He was talking, so he started off with Satanism, and this is connected to, obviously, Shaitan. And he's talking about a guy who was studying the religious symbols, and then he connected these patterns. Nobody was deciphering them until this guy came along. He didn't mention the person who started to decipher these patterns. And lo and behold, he deciphered that you have this satanic cross, you have this Freemason map on there, this ancient, and then the term ancient Greek, Egyptian. You're actually Egyptian.
I am.
And there's a lot of... stuff from the past, mixing with magic and all that. What do you got to say? What do you think? But at the end of the day, we don't know if this is true or not.
Look at your M closely. There's a gap right here in the letter M. It's never connected. So you go into Hebrew. The letter Vav is also the number 6. Short top, long tail. Short top, long tail. You could have here in Hebrew 666 on the can. But my interest is the word monster. What do you see in the O? There's a cross.
Okay.
What has Christ got to do with an energy drink, let alone the name monster? So I thought, well, maybe this is a Christian company then. BFC at the bottom of the can, do you know what that stands for? That's the F word. Big can. In fact, they write it on the side of the can, so I know that's the F word.
Okay.
Now, do you know what a MILF is?
Yes.
That's on the box. MILFs, dig it, and you will too. This is not a Christian company at all. So why would they have the cross on the can? Here is the message. Antichrist. 666 in Hebrew.
But it's a nice way to open up the topic of the devil, Shaitan, and really let people know, you know, who the devil is, the enemy of mankind, and hopefully they can, how to protect themselves.
Of course. Now, you know, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people knowledge if you don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines who the Shaitan is. You know, he calls him Al-Gharur, the one that deceives you. زَعَدُوُّ مُبِينَ. He's your staunch enemy, clear, manifest. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. So take him as an enemy as he takes you as an enemy. So they are called a few things. The one that even, what I want to clarify that, you know, this is who he is and this is who is not. He's not the fallen angel. So a lot of people think that that this is a fallen angel, which is obviously not true, because the angel are made of light and Shaitan is made of fire. So definitely not there. And then also, angels do not disobey the command of Allah, and Shaitan did. So that's obviously not a match. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. Allah puts it to bed in Surah Al-Kahf. He was from among the jinn that you cannot see, janin, like the jannah, jannat, all of that, that has to do with the jinn that you cannot see, it's unseen. So كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ, he was among the jinn, that فَفَسَقَ, you know, فَسَقَتِ الْحَبَّ خَرَجَ عَنْ غُلَافِ, came out the seed. But shar'i, Islamically, kharaja an ta'atillah. He disobeyed the command of Allah. And after that, I will tell you one thing just as an FYI. Do you believe it? There's people that are actually worse than Shaitan. I'm just saying, if you're interested to know who's worse than Shaitan, stay tuned, inshallah. You know who they are?
Tell us.
Oh my God, okay.
So people who are worse than the devil.
Worse than Shaitan.
But can devil? The devil can be the unseen, the jinn and humankind.
Yes, there are two types of Shaitan, Shayateen al-Ins wal-Jinn. Shaitan of the ins, when you can see, nasa, you can see. Shaitan al-Jinn, you cannot see.
And Shaitan translates to what? The disobe- what is it?
The Shaitan actually is shata, is like the disobedient, the one that came out of the obedience of, and so on. So the rejected, the accursed, all of these are labels of Shaitan. No need for introduction. But what we also need to know that scholars say the worst, which one, Shaitan al-Ins or Shaitan al-Jinn? They say Shaitan al-Ins. You know, the human Shaitan is worse than the jinn Shaitan. Why? Because when the jinn Shaitan comes, all you have to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, I seek protection of Allah, and Satan the rejected. Yakhnus, he becomes belittled, he goes away.
Yeah.
Scared. But if the human being in front of you, he's a shaitan of the ins, of the human being, you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, he's still there.
Wow.
Yeah. But let me just finish this circle, inshallah. Who is worse than shaitan? The scholars say the one that is worse than shaitan is the one that doesn't pray. Just a reminder for brothers and sisters, inshallah, if you haven't prayed yet, well, it's time. Never despair of Allah's mercy, because Allah forgives all sins and comes back, except shirk, of course, before you die. And then you come back, Allah will turn all the bad deeds into good deeds, and turn you from the bad places to good places, bad company and right company, and so on. So the one that is worse than shaitan is actually the one that doesn't pray. Why? Because umira ash-shaytan liyasjud li-adama fa'aba wa umira ibn adam liyasjud lillahi fa'aba. Which means, shaitan, Satan the rejected, was commanded to bow down to Adam, and he refused. Bow down in respect, of course, not in worship, by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the children of Adam, us, were commanded to bow down to Allah, our creator, but we refused. Which one do you think is worse? The one that was commanded to bow down to Shaitan, to Adam, that he refused, or the one that was commanded to bow down to Allah and refused? So it's just a reminder for brothers and sisters, for those who don't want to be worse than Shaitan, I think it's time to pray before you prayed upon.
This should move you to really look for a higher, like if there's a devil, obviously there's a creator. And now there must be a purpose, because the creator is the most wise. He didn't just create all this for any foolish purpose, right? There has to be a just like Elon Musk, he creates the car, Tesla, and imagine if there was no instruction manual how to use it. That would make no sense. But what about us? Going deeper now.
Yeah.
Going deeper into when you, and there's a saying that the greatest, I don't know if you've heard of this, the greatest trick that the devil played on mankind is to convince people he doesn't exist.
So, among others, of course.
Yeah, so, but people are talking about, they're fascinated with this.
Yeah.
But then was the action behind when you really, to see that if he exists, which he does, he's there, he's working to deceive you from living your true purpose, worshiping your creator and everything that comes from there. But then it just stopped there. Why do you think this is?
Well, Allah says, وَلَا يَغْرُنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Do not be deceived about the deceiving one. And of course, he is the one that يَجْرِي مَجْرَ الدَّمْ. Like, I mean, if he doesn't exist, I don't know what to tell you, because he runs in your veins. That means as long as you're alive. And there are tricks, plenty of tricks that he plays. And of course, we'll talk about the tricks. We'll talk about how to counter it and how to recognize it and what you have to do to protect yourself, inshallah, throughout the episode. But he does indeed exist, because God Almighty mentioned it. It's in the Quran. We believe in it. You know, we pray for Prophet ﷺ said that he does exist. Even Abdullah ibn Saud, in the hadith of Sunan Sahih, Bukhari again, that he came three nights in a row, tried to take away the alms and the Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin and all of that of the. So he caught him, and he says, you know what, I have the children that let me go three times, and he came back on the third night. He says, that's it, I'm not going to let you go this time, because Prophet ﷺ says, sure. What happened to your guest in the evening, Abdullah ibn Saud radiallahu anhu jain? He said, he's lying, he's coming back. He says, he's not coming back, Then that third time, he says, okay, I'm not going to let you go. So he says, let me go, and I will tell you something that is very beneficial for you. He says, before you go to sleep, say Ayatul Kursi, and then Shaitan will never touch you till the morning. So Prophet ﷺ says, what happened? He told him what the shaitan told him. He says, Sadaqaka wa huwa kadhub. He told you the truth, even though he's a habitual liar. So we learned something now, that before you go to sleep, you make sure that you recite Ayatul Kursi, and obviously make wudu and all of these adhkar. And I want you to download Hisnul Muslim, Fortress Muslim. It's a free app. We like free stuff. So please make sure that you learn about it. And I'll finish with a joke. It's like a man that wanted to, his wife, with your permission.
Yes, process. Please, go ahead.
Just to light, shaitan is heavy, like, so we need to lighten the load a little bit. So a man that was asked by his wife, honey, do you see me in your dreams? He goes, no, I actually don't see you, honey, in my dreams. He goes, why not? He goes, I recite Ayatul Kursi before I go to sleep. So don't do that. Don't do that. It's not a good idea.
I mean, this is a very heavy, serious topic. Yeah. And I was there's a few things. One of them, before I get to my next question, I was just thinking, like, imagine, like, this is amazing to see Prophet Muhammad, last final message sent to mankind, peace be upon him, is that we have the ultimate miracles, the Quran, tamper-free, tamper-proof. It's a living miracle. Anyone wants to put it to the test is there. If you're sincere, it'll guide you to guidance.
Of course.
If you're sincere, because you do have a lot of people who, you know, are not sincere, and what happens, it takes them to the place they want to go, right?
Exactly.
Now, if a person's sincere, they look at the Quran, that's one thing. Then you look at Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. Yes. You know, he did miracles, his prophecies. There's just so much thing documented. It's not things that you have chain of narrations of hundreds of people witnessing things, miracles. But then you have this also. You have where does a person have the time, the ability to come up? You have so much, the adhkar and the supplications that are there in Islam, like no other way of life, no other religion. That just blows my mind. All of these things, you know, describing, you know, the shaitan, if you don't, when you come in the house, if you don't say Bismillah, he's got a place to stay.
Exactly.
Before, why is he, you know, if you don't say Bismillah in the name of God, Allah, before you eat, he's got food to eat. You know, these details, it's absolutely, like, just amazing.
Alhamdulillah. That's why Islam is a comprehensive religion. It's a way of life. It's not a fad or something you wear on a Friday or a Saturday or Sunday and you take off. It is as every aspect in your life, Islam is telling you what to do, what not to do for your own benefit. It is true. Even when you eat, like you said, you know, when you actually take off your clothes, you say Bismillah alladhi la ilaha illa, so he doesn't see you unclothed. When you wear something, you say Bismillah. Even when you have intimate relations with your spouse, it's Bismillah. All of that stuff. And when you go to the bathroom, oh Allah, protect us from shaitan, protect our children from shaitan. And that's the first rights. When you go to the bathroom, you say, male and female, shaitan. So every aspect of your life, you can actually see that Allah is trying to tell you, protect yourself from shaitan by dhikr. And that's why he says, Uli al-albab, alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. So those who remember, Uli al-albab, he didn't say the one that is smart, whatever. This is an intellectual individual that has an amazing mind, that those, he didn't just say a human being, smart person that remembers Allah, because shaitan will stay away from you and Allah will remember you. And if you remember him in yourself, he will remember you in yourself. Remember ala al-mala in public, Allah will remember you in better public, meaning to the angels.
You have these secret societies, these cults. So now if we look at it, if we were like people wanted to get our message, the la ilaha illallah, the kalima shahada, you have the shahada on some of the coins of the past. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right, that there's no deity worthy worship except the one God, Allah, la ilaha illallah. So you want to push your message out. So what do you, these secret society, the Masons, which he's mentioning, you know, can this be people in these positions that now they're pushing their agenda subliminally, you know, subtly, just pushing this out? And what are your?
Of course, these are the soldiers of shaitan, because
soldiers of shaitan.
Yes, of course. They work on his behalf. These are the arrows that shaitan uses.
Yeah.
So we have to be clever and also be aware of what it is. عَرَفْتُ الشَّرِّ لَا لِلشَّرِّ لَكِنْ تَوَقِّهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرَفِ الشَّرِّ مِنَ خَيْرِ وَقَعَ فِيهِ, which means I want to know evil, not because I want to know evil, because I want to know evil so I can stay away from evil. So we have to also know the tricks of shaitan. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi talks about seven. So number one is exactly what you mentioned. Number one on shaitan's list is to commit kufr. You don't believe in Allah. Or shirk, ascribing partners unto Allah. Number one on his list. Because if he cannot tell you to do that, then he goes down to number two, which is a bid'ah, an innovation. And some of the scholars said actually it's worse than the other one, because a bid'ah, you will think you're doing something right. So you will never repent from that. Mm-hmm. But you know, this is something that is huge, because you think you're doing right, but you're not, and you haven't followed the Quran and Sunnah. You're doing something disobedient, and you will actually tell people to do it. That is wrong. And you get offended if people do not follow the bid'ah, innovation. Amazing. So this is number one on his list. Number three, he talks about kaba'ir, major sins. About, you know, when you can, you lie and you steal and you commit adultery and all of these things, the major sins. If he can get you to do that, he will go down the notch. He will go to minor sins. You know, not the big guns, but you know what, a lot of lemon, you know, the minor sins, he's looking here, doing that, talk about this and all of these things. If he cannot do that, he will step one down. He will go to the mubah. Mubah is what's permissible. You tell, you know what, this is allowed, this is allowed. So you waste your time doing something absolutely no benefit whatsoever. You know, watching, India playing Pakistan, Zindabad, you know, because the sheikh, or whatever it is. So that's exactly what it, you will be wasting your life away, wasting time, which is precious because Allah takes an oath by time. So he's actually taking away your capital. So he makes you waste time. What are you doing, Sheikh? What are you doing, man? I'm killing some time. You're actually killing yourself. So if you cannot do that, yeah, of course.
So repeat that again.
Yeah. So the
one about, you know, what are you doing?
I'm killing some time. You're literally killing yourself because innama anta adad. You are a mere number. You are a mere a breath you take, a pulse that you know that it comes in, a blink of an eye. These are days numbered. So remember, خلق السماوات والأرض. So the heavens and the earth and the sun and the rise, it's like your clock. Every time the sun rises and sets, that's you closer to the grave. And that's why Allah says, ponder and reflect about the ayat, otherwise you haven't really thought about it. So when you go to sleep, as if you're going to coffin, when you control the room temperature, you're controlling your temperature of your grave. So you have to think about it. In these aspects, even some of the righteous used to actually have a grave and they would go inside and says, قَالَ رَبِّ رِجْعُونَ, oh Allah, take me back. And they will, alhamdulillah, give him back. So I go back three times. It says, be conscious of Allah one day. He says, kalla. You will hear nay. So these are the things that he was trying to get you out. Then he steps away down a bit, number six. He goes, okay, well, something that is lesser, a benefit. For example, you know, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَ عَمُونَ كِهَابًا مَقُوتًا. Time when you say Allahu Akbar means Allahu Akbar. God is greater. So I'm not going to watch that movie. I'm not going to watch that game because I'm literally saying Allah is not Akbar. God is not greater. This movie is Akbar. This match is Akbar. Yeah? So he's going to tell you, oh, كَلِمَتَانْ خَفِفْنَا عَلَى لِسَانِ. He'll tell you the dhikr. Oh, say subhanAllah, bihamdi, subhanAllah, azim. Read Quran. Isn't alif, lam, meem? I don't say alif, lam, meem, harf. Alif, harf. One is letter, one letter. 30 hasanat. He'll remind you all good things to leave you for something that is beneficial, more timely. So don't pray on time. No, let's do this. So this is something. If he doesn't get the sixth, he goes to the seventh. Which is, if you're in a path of da'wah, inviting others to the path of Allah, you're righteous, you're enjoying good and you forbid evil and all of that stuff, he will get people to nail you. He will. I'm not going to mention those type of people because they're known. All their job is to make sure that they point the fingers and fish for faults for Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the scholars and the people that do da'wah, and everything else, Shaykh. So they leave everybody. They leave the Christians, they leave the Jews, they leave the atheists, they leave the agnostic. They only nail the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And that's the trick of shaitan. They say, oh, you know what? Yeah, I'm the only one that's right, everybody is wrong. So nail that one. So you will get harmed by their hand, by their tongue, by the social media. So you have to stick. This. It says, this path is not easy. This path of da'wah is not easy. So we have to also understand all these seven tricks and recognize them before it's too late.
We know the family, this is the core of society. You also have been doing, you know, for years, I mean, over probably a couple decades or more, right? Marriage counseling. And, you know, the authentic hadith where the shaitan, the devil, the satanic forces go out and you have the main devil, shaitan, Iblis, and he sends his armies out and then they come back, say, what'd you do, what'd you do, what'd you do? And then he's like, okay, that's kid stuff. Then the one says, I broke up husband from his wife, he gives him the crown. Can you elaborate on that?
Of course.
And what have you seen? Has it been going up, the destruction of the home, the family? What's the cause? And what can we do to, what advice do you give with all your years of experience?
Of course. I mean, over 35 years doing this, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me that, you know, I taught some courses, I wrote books by the blessing of Allah, and I done counseling. I don't do counseling anymore, just saying. I'm retiring from counseling, so please don't call me. Okay, so it's a triangle.
Were
so
you left scarred from that?
It drains you after 35 years because I was told by the doctor to stop doing counseling for the simple reason. Yeah. He said, I'm an emotional guy. So what I do is I absorb people's problems, then live them. So he says, you have to stop. Because I actually go home, and to be honest, I used to cry. Because how could a Muslim brother do that to a Muslim sister? How could a Muslim sister treat her husband, Muslim brother, like that? I used to take it personally, and obviously you cannot do that. But of course, just the triangle theory. Okay, guys, just think about it. Your husband is here, the wife is here. Allah, someone above all, of course. So what I tell the triangle theory from our scholars, may Allah bless them for teaching us, the closer you are to Allah, the closer you are to each other. The further away from Allah, the further away from each other. So all you have to remember, when you take the oath, my brother, when you take that oath, وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِثَاقًا غَلِيظًا, you know, they've taken a stringent oath from you, and the oath is, فَمْسَاكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا وَتَسْرِيحًا بِحْسَانًا. Hold on to her in the best way possible. And if things don't work out, even if she wrongs you, you still have to be good to her. I know it's a bad deal, man, but that's the deal. So let's seal the deal. Now, he says, hold on to her in the best way possible. And if she wrongs you, you still have to be good, because the word ihsan is there. Ihsan is being good to those who are bad to you, not good to those who are good to you. So number one is being away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so away from the Quran and Sunnah. Also understand that we listen so much to the other side and say, you know what? Oh, we let shaitan come in, exactly what he says. And from a minor thing, it will blur. And that's why the Prophet says, when shaitan comes, say, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, three times. And that's the time has been, the study shows that you need to calm down, not to make the decision on a whim, not a knee-jerk action. And he says, change your position. If you're standing, sit down. Why? Because when you're standing, you're ready to fight. When you sit down, you still have a little more. And if you're sitting down, lie down. Even more. And if you lay down, you know, you sleep. And. So he's trying to tell you, if you make wudu, make wudu. Why? Because water will put out the fire. Mm-hmm. Pray to rakat. So, ikhnus, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, and say, spit three times dry air on your left eye. But make sure your wife is not there. Just saying. And do what Umar ibn Khattab used to do. Radiallahu anhu ardahu. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wallahi, Ya Umar, if shaitan sees you in one path, he will take the other side. You asked him why. Yeah? He says, this is the trick. The trick that Umar radiallahu anhu used to do. So he said that Umar, every time shaitan asks him to do something, he recognizes the whispers of shaitan. He does the exact opposite. So shaitan says, that's a bad deal, man. Every time I want to do something bad, he does something good, so I'm going to leave him alone. So you have to think, shaitan wants you to go to sleep, don't come wake up for fajr. Okay, you say, you know what, shaitan? If I don't wake up for fajr, I'm going to do qiyam al-layl. He's going to wake you up for fajr. So make sure that you understand. And never despair of Allah's mercy. So the scholars say, look, with the eyes that you looked at something bad, look at the Quran. With the hand that you've done something bad, give a sadaqah. With the feet you went to bars, use the same feet, go to the masajid. So in the places you disobeyed Allah, you go back to do the righteous deeds. You see? This is how you beat shaitan, and you won't. Can I say, da'ifa, kaid. His powerless. When you have ikhlas. Again, there's a list of things that we can talk about. Number one is ikhlas. Illa ibadak khaseen. Allah says, you know what? I can't touch them. Can't touch this. When you have ikhlas, sincerity with the sake of Allah, he cannot touch you.
This is one of the greatest things that he can do, and how important it is to keep the families together. Did you see in your 35 years, did you have much success in that, in helping couples, you know, to reconcile? Or was just a tidal wave, you know, the push just so a tsunami that it was just overwhelming? And what do you see? Another complaint by some people is that we see, again, you know, the deen is balanced. The man has to be kind, patient with his wife. He's the provider and maintainer. But then we have this push, the modern-day feminism, right? And then it seems like some complain that some imams, they'll talk and bring up certain hadith or certain things that kind of cater to this, and this is doing a disservice. Have you heard this?
Of course.
Yeah.
But reality check, reality. Okay, guys? Islam gave women over 14 rights over 1,400 years ago, and I talk about it's online. I'm not going to go there. Yeah. Up till now, women don't get the same pay as men right here in the U.S., so don't tell me about human rights. They had to fight to get rights. They had to fight. Islam gave them rights over 1,400 years ago. So when the sister said, I want to be equal, Sheikh, I go, my dear sister, you don't understand. God Almighty raises women three times higher than men as a mother and a father. Mm-hmm. Why do you want to come down to us? And that's why I tell the sisters, don't compete with your husband. Just complete your husband.
Don't compete, complete.
Exactly.
Very nice.
And that's, it's not a competition. Leave that, you know, the scoreboard out. Everybody has a, you know, a place in society. Everybody has a rules and the roles to play. And that's when you start the competition, you go, well, you, that's what Shaitan starts to whisper. You said this, well, I'll see you outside because you know what? Blah, 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 blah. You said that if you're a man, divorce me. I'm a man. I'm a man. I'm, who the man? You the man. But if you the man, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the strong man is the one, man tamallaka nafsahu inda al-ghadab. When you control your anger at the time of rage, mm-hmm. when you're at the time. See, that's, so that's why I tell the brothers, you the man. So if your wife tells you like this, turn around, walk away. Yes? Turn, walk away. Because Shaitan is right there. There's Khanzab. There's Shaitan. That's his job. His job is to make sure to break you. He says, Mazilt, I stayed with him till he divorced his wife. So obviously, sisters, if your husband is angry, let him go. If you're, and the Prophet ﷺ, this is not sahih. When Prophet ﷺ was asked that Aisha was not angry with him, he was not angry with Aisha. They asked him why. He says, when I get angry, she calms me down. She doesn't add fuel to the fire. And when she's angry, I calm her down. Shuraih al-Qadi, before he got married, his wife says, Wallahi, and I don't know you, you don't know me. Ala rislik, can I say a few things? He says, yes. He says, I don't know you, you don't know me. Can you please tell me what you like so I will do? I'll tell you what I like you will do. Simple formula. But right now we have all these things that we're fighting and finding. And you do this, I do that. If you don't do this, I will do that. It's not that. I tell the brothers and sisters, please do things for the sake of Allah. Don't do anything for anybody. You see, when you do it for the sake of Allah, you accept and expect the reward from Allah, not from a human being. So do it because Allah commanded you and I want to please Allah. Yes? And if you leave something for the sake of Allah, Allah grant you something better. Wallahi, I tried it. When I had an argument with my wife, you know, I'm just saying, she's from Ghazda, and it's just like a serious, miskin, yani, wallahi. So I said, Wallahi, I'm not going to argue. I'm going to leave this for your sake, Wallahi. Wallahi, a few seconds, Sheikh, she came back and apologized and, leave it for the sake of Allah. Don't add fuel to the fire. Turn around. Take the high road. Why do you think Prophet Muhammad says the best of men, the best is wife? Why? Because your wife knows whether you do Qiyamul Layl or not. Not Niyamul Layl. Your wife knows whether you pray Fajr and Ma'isha and Jama'ah or not. Your wife knows whether you betray or fulfill the promise. Your wife knows whether you're generous or miser. Your wife knows whether you tell the truth or you lie. Your wife knows. So that's why the Islam says ibadah has fruit. The of the acts of worship is your akhlaq, your character. So you can't come in the masjid act like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and go home when you're alone with your wife, you act like Abu Jahl waliyadu billah. And that's why he said, cut to the chase. He says, the best of men, the best is wife because of the akhlaq. And he gave you a reward. He says, the most beloved to my heart, close to me in the hereafter, the best of character. So your wife has the key. Keep her, Shaykh. She has the key if you want to be with him. Yes? So he cannot be mihnat ahli, and it's a big course. And he turned the table on women. Now, you're not off the hook yet, ukhti. And when our Prophet ﷺ said, you know, asked a woman, are you married? She said, yes. He didn't say, do you pray? Do you fast? He said, one question. Put his eggs in one basket like he did with men. Turn the table. He says, how are you to your husband? He says, I do my best. He says, good, because he is your heaven and he is your hell. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the winners are, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ النَّارُ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. If you protect yourself from the hellfire, grant you permission to enter the paradise, that's the ultimate triumph and winnings. That's why you are each other's measuring stick. So why don't we work to say, you know what, when I got married, well, I said, listen, are you ready to go to Jannah? Can I put your hand in my hand? Let's go to Jannah. You're not going to hear me say, I said, you will hear me say, Qala Allah, Qala Rasul. Khalas. This is among so many secrets that you can do, inshallah.
You know, the ayah in the Quran, verbatim word of God Almighty, the Quran, this is for us to live by, and there's a verse in there, Allah, the Almighty, the Majestic Supreme, the Creator of the universe, is saying, if you differ in anything, turn back to Allah and His Messenger. Right. Have you seen in your 35 years that either one party or both parties, and if both parties would adhere to this, would this solve most of the problems? But yes. Do you see when someone brings this up, sometimes people are like, okay. Have you witnessed this?
Yes, of course. Even the scholars say, نَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ. That's what the ayah says. If you differ upon anything, take it back to Allah and His Messenger, Quran and Sunnah. And the scholars say, even if you differ upon things, you follow a different method, for example. Okay, your husband is a Hanafi, you're Maliki, whatever it is, right? So when you differ upon something, the scholars say, go with the opinion of your husband. So keep the peace. As long as he's right. I mean, لا إنكارم اختلاف. We're not going to differ. If there's both, they have proof and they're valid. You know, proof that they're authentic. The scholars accept. So even then, to keep the peace at home, go with the opinion of your husband, even though that may differ with your opinion, just to keep the peace. As a matter of fact, Islam, inside Muslim, you're allowed to lie, but I have to justify that. Okay, don't take that as a green light. You're allowed to lie to your spouse, you know, to keep the peace. It's not like you're, but not lying about something like okay, does this dress make me look fat, for example? You look amazing, the best.
That's the context behind it.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, your food is so good, honey. Could you please keep it a secret? You know, I love my mother-in-law. All these things. Your receding hairline make you look intellectual. You know that biryani belly makes a great place for my coffee mug. Things like that. You're allowed just to keep the peace. And that's where we drop the ball. We look for the scoreboard. You did, I did this, and that's why I tell brothers and sisters, look, understand the oath you've taken, akhi, when you told her father, I accept marrying your daughter. You know what that means? You become an author. The book you signed, the story you wrote with your wife, will be read by your own daughter. And I promise you, somebody will come and treat your daughter like you treated somebody else's daughter. So before you say anything to your wife, or do anything to your wife, ask yourself a simple question. Would I accept anyone to treat my own daughter the same way I'm treating? And remember, your wife will come to you one day and say, honey, I have some good news. The doctor told me I'm pregnant. You prostrate to thank Allah for the gift he's given you. Can't hardly wait. You start thinking, will I be a good father, a good bride, a good role model? The day comes and you'll never forget the day. Wallahi, I never forgotten the day. And you know, this is a day that you called Abba, father. You'll never forget the day she calls you Abba or smiled in your face. Made you forget the misery of the world. Raise her hand. If you care her, she'll own your heart. Now, you won't forget the day that she ate solid food for the first time or walked her own feet for the first time, walked away to go to school. Somebody walked up in your door. Uncle, can I have this beautiful flower that bloomed in your heart? Do you imagine, Sheikh? And that's why the oath is stringent. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used mawadda wa rahma. Mawadda comes from Madud, his name. Rahma comes from Rahman al-Rahim. It's telling you, this is divine combination. This mawadda is, if you think in 50 years, you're standing, just looking at your wife, watching the sunset, sitting on a swing, holding her hand, said nothing. But you feel happy. But after you've seen her with no makeup on and all of that stuff, still hold on. And if it's not there, you have to have rahmah, mercy upon one another. And our Prophet, he's the rahman muhda. He says, he's your mercy that I sent for you. And he is the role model, follow him. And if you do, I will love you. And that's why I tell the brothers, help in the house chores. Every time I do this, you raise your hand to if you help. It's awkward for the brothers. Sisters, raise your hand if your husband helps you. Hardly anybody here. So come on, man. Help, and now it's yours. You know, this is, don't stop dating your wife, for example. I tell that all the time. You know, because when we start working, you know, when we get married, we work out. I remember going in the backyard doing pull-ups and push-ups and sit-ups. And then, you know, you dress well, you know the poet. You take showers, you dress well, you write poems. But after you get married, khalas yani. You know, I said, biryani bell comes out, everything goes downhill. Allah says, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلَ لَهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Whatever you ask of them, give them before you take, and lead by example in order to follow. It's a lot to throw at you, but take what you can.
So this is a good point. So you help out of your love for the relationship, your wife, you want to go ahead and do some extra and get the rewards. But how about now when it's flipped and it's looked at like, now, no, this is your responsibility. Now you have to go to work and come and every day wash the dishes, clean, you know, and it gets to that extent.
Right. So when we talk about these issues, you have to discuss it before you get married, not after you get married. And remember, the majority of scholars says your wife is not so obligated to serve you. And when I share with the brothers, they're shocked. The majority of scholars says the wife is not obligated to serve. Yes? But if she does serve you, and why do I share that with the brothers? I said, be grateful to her. The hadith says, you haven't thanked Allah till you thank the people. So don't take it for granted and don't get complacent. And there's something I tell the sisters too. When Prophet ﷺ says, يُكْثِرْنَا اللَّعْنُ وَيَكْفُرْنَا الْعَشِيرُ يُحْسِنْ لَكَ وَأَبَدَّهَرَ فَإِنْ سَأَ مَرَّ قُلْنَا مَا رَأَيْنَا مِنْكَ خَيْرًا قَطْ. And tell the sisters, although Prophet Muhammad told you to stay away from three things to be protected from the hellfire. Don't harm your husband in abundance with your tongue, because your tongue has two gates, your teeth and your lips. So before you say anything to your husband, think twice. Be grateful to him for what he does. Same thing as I mentioned. Because men are just big babies. But women, when they have their own babies, they forget their first baby. So don't forget your first baby. Be grateful to them. And the third, he says, if he's good to you all the time, only makes one mistake, says, I have never seen any good from you. You're a loser. And that's when we say, sisters, to go to the, this is how to protect yourself from the hellfire. To go to the other side, easy. Pray your five daily prayers on time. Fast the month of Ramadan. Protect your chest. It was good to one man in your life. Is that too much? Amazing. There's so much more, of course. And I'll give you better than that. Four things that will open 8 gates in Jannah for you on a day that's 50,000 years, Sheikh. Just doing 4 of these things. The scholar says, even Asma bint Yazid said, you know, I'll give you 6 for 1, that's 4 for 8. If you want the rewards for Hajj, Umrah, congregation prayer, following janazas, wounded, for the sake of being martyred, for the sake of Allah, all you have to do is one. That's according to the hadith. It's a long story, but I'm not going to go there, but I'm just giving you cut into the chase. If you want to get all that reward, just have to be good to one man in your life, my dear sister, your husband. And our Prophet ﷺ actually gave her a bonus. He says, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ? Have I told you who's going to Jannah? He says, tell us. He says, among the list, he says, if a woman is angry with her husband is angry with her, okay, knocked on the door. He says, I will not be able to go to sleep unless you please with me. She's in paradise. She's in paradise.
That's deep.
She's in paradise.
Yeah. Tell me, going back, obviously this is revolving around what we opened up, the satanic forces trying to destroy society, the home and whatnot. Let's shift over to sibling rivalry, other family disputes. You've dealt with a lot of these. And
yes,
how is this something, again, when you go back to turn back to Allah and His Messenger, if you're different, anything, and then are people implementing this in most of your counseling sessions with sister and sister, brother and brother, other family members, and what do you see the state here, and what advice do you have?
That I look at root cause analysis.
Root cause analysis.
First of all, did the father marry a righteous woman? That's number one I look for. Is the father a good role model? Does he have... فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. There's a surah in Nisa, وَلْيَخْشَى الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُمْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. If you lead, you fear for your lineage, so you have to have taqwa. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَ صَالِحًا. Surah Al-Kahf. That was سابع جد. That was the 7th grandfather according to Ibn Kathir. So Sa'id ibn Musayyib, Sayyid al-Tabi'een, who was the most knowledgeable of the Tabi'een, he used to do Qiyam al-Layl and prolong his sujood. Prolong. He says, I'm doing this for my child, for my son. Because I remember what Allah said in Surah Al-Nisa. So I have to have taqwa first in order for me to do this. But we point the finger to the children. But did you raise them righteously? Did you give them righteous environment? Did you give them righteous company? Were you? So one thing I tell the parents is please do not compare them to each other. That's when they get the rivalry. Because jealousy, even go Surah Yusuf alayhi salam, look what happened, it's in the Quran. So the rivalry between them is because, you know what, why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be like your sister? Or why? Why do you have to become like that? You know what? Talk about the PMA, the positive mental attitude. Have the competition. Think about it. Give them delegate responsibilities. Give them their worth. Listen to what they have to say. Involve them in the decision-making process. These are extremely important things for the child to be raised properly. And I mentioned earlier, even the dua, not just the number one haqq for the children is righteous mother. Number two is the dua before you have intimate relations. So shaitan will not touch him. Of course, they're going to make a sin, but they will die in the state of Islam. That's what the scholars say. So it's a long list of things in order for you to be able to handle your children and so on and so forth. And it's a mirror effect. The mirror effect is they reflect you. It's an address for you. So basically, you raised this child. Why are you complaining? You raised it. There's an exception, of course. Even Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam couldn't help his father. And Muhammad could not help his father, and so on. So that even Nuh alayhi salam could not help his son. So these are the exceptions. And we cannot build a theory upon exceptions. But Allah has taken you off. As long as you've done your job, teaching them Quran and Sunnah, making sure they're in righteous company, righteous environment, that comes from Sahih Bukhari, the man that killed 99 lives. It's a long story, but I'm sure most of us know. Even killed 100. But the scholar says, if you want to change, in talq, he said, rush, haste. He didn't say idhab, didn't say go. You have to rush. إِلَى الْقَرْيَةَ الصَّالِحَ الْوَهَ. That's why I use this. قَرْيَةَ, which is a village, the environment. صَالِحَ الْوَهَ, righteous company they're in. So you have to understand that your children have to be with righteous company and righteous environment. I'll give you 3, inshallah, to be able to get the righteous company that you have. إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُ ذَكَرَكْ بِاللَّهِ رُؤْيَتُهُ. When you see them, they remind you of Allah. Like I haven't prayed Asr yet. I look at Brother Eddie, oh my God, I haven't prayed Asr yet. إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُ ذَكَرَكَ بِاللَّهِ. You remind me of Allah. دَلَّكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَالُ. When I see you, how you walk, how you talk, how you act, how you dress, how you teach me, you guide me the Quran and Sunnah. زَادَكَ إِيمَانًا مَنْتُقُ. When we talk, you get an iman boost, a shot in the arm. You remind me of heaven, hell, life, hereafter. This is the three things that you hold on to, the company you keep in order for you to be saved. Now, what do you have? Brothers called Mimi, Tutu, Lulu, Fifi, and Susu, and they have earrings galore and all this stuff. What? The guys look like girls and girls look like guys. And unbelievable, Sheikh. It's unbelievable. This is among the signs of time. So these are the things I tell you. This is how to. Not just look at what the siblings are fighting. A human being, the human nature is fine, but look at the root cause analysis and you'll find out if it is to be, it's up to me. Point the finger to yourself first as a parent, as a guardian, before you talk to your children.
All right, beautiful. We covered a lot here. You opened it up with the prayer, making sure that this is one of the main things the devil, Satan, wants to keep you away from submitting to your creator. He didn't obey. Do you want to be a bigger shaitan by not
exactly
submitting to the one who created you?
Right.
How do you want to close this? Go ahead, take it away.
Well, let me tell you that I've said this before. You know, the salah is the first thing you'll be asked about in the hereafter. If Allah accepts it, he'll accept everything else. If he doesn't accept it, he won't accept anything else. And so I hear all the excuses. Why are you not praying, man? Oh, Sheikh, I was so good looking, Sheikh. I had the girls right, left, and center, the damsels. Yeah, are you more beautiful than Yusuf alayhi salam? Of course not. But he didn't deter him to pray. So I was so rich. Are you more than Sulaiman alayhi salam? No, Sheikh, you're not. Are you're so poor now because you're still gonna pray. If you're not gonna pray in this life, you're gonna pray in the hereafter, nasty place. So Isa alayhi salam. So he used to say that the heavens is my cover and the earth is my bed. So you cannot go there. So please remember why? Because any other ibadah, any act of worship, people can make it up for you. But nobody can make up your prayer for you. It's a specific personal physical ibadah that you have to do. Because it is honored, ya Sheikh, because you condition yourself. Could you imagine you're linked to Allah? Yes, so think about salah comes from salah. You can stand in front of Allah. Yes, it's a big topic, but I'm just going to cut to the chase here. So think about it. Why is it that? Because Allah gave you all, you take away all the excuses. Well, you know what? I'm traveling, Sheikh. Well, combine Dhuhr and Asr, two and two. That's fine. Or Maghrib and Isha. Yes? But you're not going to make it one and a half and two. I'm just saying, three and two. And so he's making it easy. Okay, I can't find the masjid. Jualat al-adliya masjidin wa tahura. This whole earth is made a masjid. I can't find water. Tahura, I just told you that you can do tayammum, dar ablution. I can't find the qibla. Aynama tuwallu fathamma wajullah. Do your best to find the qibla. If you can't, just do your ijtihad. And you know what? I can't stand up, Sheikh. Sit down. I can't sit down. Lie down. I can't lie down. Move your head. I can't move my head. Move your eyes. I can't move my eyes. Think about it in your brain. I can't think about it again. You're dead. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You're not obligated. So what other excuses you will come up with, my brothers and sisters? So please remember, this prayer and the adhan, as I always say, is your measuring stick. When you hear Allahu Akbar, akhi, do you actually live accordingly? And ukhti, is God greater than anything else? Then he says, the most one that is repeated all the time, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Are you really from the ummah of la ilaha illallah? And Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Do you think Prophet will know you to be from his sunnah? Are you following his sunnah? If you want to do whatever it is that you want to be successful, hayya ala salah. This is what you said. If you don't get it, hayya ala falah. If you want success in both abodes. If not, then remember again, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. There's only one deity deserving to be worshipped, which is Allah.
Jazakallah. Thank you so much again.
My pleasure.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam.
And thank you guys for tuning in. For those that tune in for the first time, you'd like to learn more, go ahead to thedeanshow.com. We'll get you a free copy of the Quran, or you can call us 1-800-662-ISLAM if you have questions about Islam, you'd like to learn more about this topic or anything else, or you'd like to accept the way of life that was from the beginning, the way of complete submission, surrender to the one creator, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the same God, Jesus, worship, Moses, Abraham, and all the messengers, including the last final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And we'll see you next time. Call us, 1-800-662-ISLAM. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Brothers and sisters, we've all had loved ones that passed away. A mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a close family member. But one of the mercies of our deen is that with the right intention, we can go ahead and continue to do good deeds on our loved one's behalf. And what greater of a continuous good deed, sadaqah jariyah, than investing on their behalf in the Deen Center, a masjid and mega dawah center that will benefit generations to come, inshallah. So click the link below, donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.